Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and, of course, all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGann. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGann. And you can follow the show on Twitter. You can message me on Twitter at GoForItGant. I want to hear your messages. I want to hear what you have to say loud and clear. So make sure you hit me up on Twitter at GoForItGant. Expected to be joined by today Agent Lee Steinberg. And Lee's going to kind of break down and tell us what transpired today and what does that mean going forward. Well, what's that mean going forward in terms of this labor negotiation, in terms of getting this deal done? So Lee Steinberg is going to come by and he's going to talk about that. And also, one of the stars of Transformers, Lester Speight, will stop on by. And Lester actually used to play a little football himself, played in the USFL. So Lester's going to give his take on this lockout, and we're going to see what's going on with this Transformers 3 movie. Seems to be a great big movie and a lot of technology involved, so make sure you check it out. Lester Speight, Lee Steinberg on the show today, so make sure you stick around. We got a good one for you today. And I want to start with this NFL lockout now, and day 131 in the books. And we expected, everybody expected a settlement today. Everybody expected the players to walk in, the players' reps, to walk on in there in their meeting today and say, you know what, we like this deal. Let's get it done. Let's get it done and let's get it to the owners and who will be meeting tomorrow, who met today and also expected to meet tomorrow and were expected to sign the documents tomorrow, or at least get the ball moving so things could get done. But at this point, the players did not vote on anything. The players did not sign on anything. So at this point, the lockout continues, but it looks like both sides will continue to talk. It looks like that when it's all said and done, they're just trying to iron out the certain points and little details with this agreement. And if you look at it, this is a big-time agreement here. And you got a big-time agreement, it's going to take a lot of work, and there's going to be a lot of fine print, a lot of fine details that you're going to have to go over. So it's really no surprise at this point that these guys have not come together and gotten this done. But when it's all said and done, and I've said this from the beginning, no games will be missed. Truly, no games will be missed. So, in reality, that's all that matters. OTA is okay. Minicamps, sure. No games to this point have been missed. There is talk, possibly, this thing continues, that more than likely the Hall of Fame game, which is scheduled for August 6th, that might be a casualty of this lockout. But we'll see what happens there. But at this point, right now, there is a lockout still in place, but it's looking like to me that, the players actually could vote tomorrow. And the reality is, and they're saying it, Chris Mortensen is reporting it, that, this could take place during a conference call or some kind of, a conference call. It could take place there. So they don't all need to be there for this to happen and for this to go through, but I've said all along, and I'll repeat myself and I'll reiterate myself, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but the reality is there's no need to get yourself all excited and upset that there may not be football when you want football, or the lockout may not end when you want it to end. But the reality is, come September, I think we'd be okay if we missed the preseason as well. I really do. I think fans would be okay if the preseason was knocked out. I really do. But the reality is this. Come September 8th, football will be played. And that's what really truly matters at the end of the day, that football will be played when it needs to be played. And preseason, a lot of people don't really call that football anyway. I mean, that's how many people you watch essentially the first quarter, maybe the second quarter, but by halftime, you're definitely going. You're definitely off doing something else, because after halftime of a preseason game, it is essentially over. It is essentially over. So, you know, no one really cares about the preseason like that. I honestly believe that if preseason was missed, but come September, the NFL rolled out his regular schedule and everything was fine, I think people would be fine. I think fans would get over, and I think fans would be fine. And I know I'd be fine. I know I'd be fine at the end of the day. I guess that's all that matters to me. But you look at this whole situation. I mean, this is a big-time agreement. I mean, 10-year agreement these guys are trying to iron out, trying to figure out. 10 years. That's a long time. A lot of revenue is going to be coming in during those 10 years. A whole heck of a lot of revenue is going to be coming in those 10 years. And football is growing, and it's growing, and it's a growing, growing game. And this game has grown during a recession. This game has grown during a recession, and I expect this game to continue to grow. Football is king. Football is king, and so with that being said, everything will be fine. These guys know what they have, and they know that if you're missing regular season football games, you're messing up your money. Even if you're missing preseason games, you're messing up your money. But I think, again, at the end of the day, they will have preseason as well. But preseason, regular season, you're messing with your money. And guys don't really want to mess with their money to that extent. So I just view this situation the way I've always viewed this situation, and throughout this whole thing. Everything will get done. Everything will get done. They just have a few more points they have to go over. And the reality is, today the players, they didn't have a final document. So really there was nothing for them to vote on. I mean, they did not have their final document. So without the final document, you can't really vote. So the final document was not there in place. They're still working on some things. You got a couple lawsuits out there, the Brady thing, the Vincent Jackson thing. So you got a few things out there. You got a few things out there they got to settle up. And once they settle up those final details, those final things, football will be back, and everybody will be happy. The world will spin again in some people's mind, and everything will be just absolutely positively fine. Don't worry, everybody. I'm trying to get people off the ledge here. I'm trying to get you off the ledge here. Don't worry about it. Everything will be absolutely positively fine. Everything will be fine. Well, don't be nervous about it. This will get taken care of, just like everything else will get taken care of. It will get taken care of, and you will be able to watch football again when you want to watch football. You will be able to talk about some of the key issues in the NFL when it's time. And, you know, you got a lot of issues out there. You got a lot of things that need to be settled up. You got a lot of players that need to be moved around. A lot of things out here to talk about when it comes to the National Football League. And one of those things to talk about is Peyton Manning. And that whole situation, you got Peyton Manning now. Reports have it that Peyton Manning will not be ready for training camp. He will not be ready for training camp. You're talking about the great Peyton Manning, and he won't be ready for training camp. He will not be ready. If you haven't heard, Peyton Manning. He had his surgery, the next surgery this offseason. And at this point, sources are saying that he's still not ready. He's still not ready. He's still recovering from the surgery. And that's big. I mean, Peyton Manning is not young, 35 years old. 35 years old. And at this point, Peyton Manning, he will receive the franchise tag and has received the franchise tag from the from the Indianapolis Colts, formerly the Baltimore Colts. But and you look at it, I mean, this is big. This is big. And could this possibly be the end of Peyton Manning? I mean, a neck surgery, a second neck surgery in the last 15 months. So that's essentially two neck surgeries in 1 year, a year and a couple months. So that's kind of big, and that's something you can't just shoo away. That's something you just can't shoo away. That's something that is a big concern if you're the Colts, something that's a big-time concern. I mean, Peyton Manning, he is the Colts. Peyton Manning is the Colts, and when all those guys went down for the Colts, all those guys, the Austin Collies of the world, Joseph Addais of the world, when all those guys were going down left and right, the Dallas Clarks of the world, when all those guys were going down left and right, you asserted a Jacob Tammy in the lineup and everything was fine. You put certain guys in and everything was still good to go. Everything was still good to go. And that is because of Peyton Manning. That is because of Peyton Manning and his skill set and what he can do. I mean, you throw in a Blair White when all these guys go down. I mean, that's just Peyton Manning, and that's just what he does. That's how good, and that's what he means to the Indianapolis Colts. That's what he means to the Colts. That's what he means to the Colts. So this is big. This is big. And, you know, you're the Indianapolis Colts. You got to be a little concerned. You definitely have to be a little concerned. You got to be a little concerned about this situation with Peyton Manning. You got to be concerned. You got to be concerned. And, you know, we'll see what happens come when training camps open, if they open, but they'll open. Don't be alarmed. They will open. But if Peyton Manning can't go, Curtis Painter, you ever heard of him? Well, he's waiting in the wings. If Peyton Manning cannot go, Curtis Painter, he is waiting in the wings. If Peyton Manning cannot go, so if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan, you got to be a little concerned about that. That's big news. That's big stuff there. That's big stuff there. But you never doubt a Peyton Manning because of his pedigree, because of the stuff that he's done throughout his great career. You never doubt the guy. But I'm going to doubt him right now. I'm a little concerned. Two neck surgeries in the last 15 months. That is a little scary, and that's a little concerning. But hopefully, if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan, everything will be all right. I want to switch gears now, and I want to go back to the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, for a second. And part of this collective bargaining agreement is there's been talks that two-a-days, a staple in NFL camps, NFL training camps, two-a-days may be going away in this new collective bargaining agreement. It may be going away. And Bart Scott, the outspoken linebacker for the New York Jets, he said to the New York Star Ledger, he talked about, he says, I think it's whipping out football. I think it's making football more soft. That's his opinion. That's his belief. He believes that this thing is making football soft, softer, if you will. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people are talking about this, and I heard Kurt Warner talk about this today on the NFL Network. He said during his time in camp that 2 days were kind of being limited anyway. So he was saying it's really not that big of a deal. But Bart Scott is saying, he goes on to say, even if you put those reps into the front of the practice, what's the quality going to be? Eventually that cuts down the quality of the product. We're already behind. Now you're trying to go full speed running when you're absolutely dead dog tired. That's when you get pulls and stuff like that. So he's basically saying, well, without going through the 2-a-days and stuff, you're basically opening yourself up to possible injury. And that's a concern. That's definitely a concern if you're a player. It's definitely a concern if you're a team or an organization. But again, 2-a-days in a lot of ways have been limited. So this may not be that big of a deal going forward. But it is something that may be a part of this new collective bargaining agreement. And it should be interesting to see what this new collective bargaining agreement looks like. I mean, it should be interesting to see if the players and the ownership are both happy. It's interesting to see who got the upper hand, if you will, in this agreement. It should be very interesting. And, ultimately, you would think everybody wins because Football A is back and they're still making a ton of money. Players are making a ton of money, and the owners are definitely making a ton of money. So everybody is still eating, and they're eating very, very well, and they're eating very, very well during a lockout. During a recession. So you can't ask for much more than that. You just cannot ask for much more than that. You can't. Asking for anything else would be uncivilized, to take a page from the old commercial there. Asking for anything else you can't ask for more. You really cannot ask for more to have a successful economic product, a successful product during a recession, during tough economic times. You can't truly ask for more. You really cannot ask for more. And so ultimately, like I said before, not to be redundant, don't be concerned. Don't be sad. Do not be blue. Because when it's all said and done, football will come back to you, and you will be very, 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 very happy. Another thing what's going on with this lockout and when this lockout ends is some of the guys like a Kevin Cobb. And Kevin Cobb, backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, where is he going to go? Where does Kevin Cobb go? Does he stay in Philadelphia? Do the Eagles say, you know what, let's keep him here because we have a guy in Mike Vick who his style is a little reckless and his style could lead to injury, which it did last year. And I say, and it's been my opinion with this whole thing that with Kevin Cobb, and I say, you know what, keep Kevin Cobb. And I understand you can get a second round. There's teams that there's talk that the most they could get is possibly a second-round draft pick. You also heard talks of a Cobb for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, so you hear all these different things, but I say this, and it's been my position for a while now, that I would keep Kevin Cobb because Michael Vick, his style of play is reckless, very reckless, and he may miss time. He missed time last year, and he may miss time again. So I would keep Kevin Cobb, not unless there's other guys out there, and there's been talk that Vince Young could be on the Eagles' radar, and Philadelphia could be a landing spot for VY, Vince Young. And, you know, that's not a bad acquisition. That's not a bad backup quarterback. And one thing you say about Vince Young, you could say, okay, he may be a little immature. You could say that. You could say all these things about him. But one thing you can definitely say about Vince Young, he's a winner. Vince Young is a winner and has won in this league, 30-19 as a starter in this league. That, my friend, is winning, to take a page from Charlie Sheen. That is winning, my friend. And so Vince Young, he has won. He has won in this league. He has won in this league. He has proven that he can get it done in this league. He has proven that. Now, would he come to Philadelphia as a backup? Would he come? And he may not have any choice at this point. Or does he, there's been talk that he goes down to Miami. And Miami may be a better situation for him in terms of wanting to be able to start. Chad Henning's in place there. But, I mean, if Chad Henning falters a little, Vince Young could slide in there as a starter. So Miami may not be a bad spot for VY. Miami may not be a bad spot for VY. But we'll see what happens there with this whole situation and Kevin Cobb. More than likely, he's going to get traded. He's definitely going to get traded. It's just a matter of where and a matter of who. You know, he's going to get traded. I don't see a scenario where Kevin Cobb sticks with the Philadelphia Eagles unless Michael Vick hurts his leg tomorrow or Michael Vick gets in trouble with something tomorrow. I don't see Kevin Cobb being a Philadelphia Eagle in the 2011 season. I don't see it happening. Would I like to see it happen? Yes. I really would because, again, Michael Vick's style, he is with his style. He is prone to injury. It's just the reality of his style. It's you know, he runs around, and he's a reckless player. He can be very reckless at times. Very exciting. Very fun to watch. But he can be very reckless at times with his body. And that play where he got hurt against the Redskins, I mean, that was a play where he just lowered his head like a running back, and he was crunched. He lowered his head like a running back, and he was crunched. When he came back, he did a better job of avoiding big hits. But, he's still a guy that exciting as I don't know what, fun to watch as I don't know what, but he's a guy that his style is prone to injury. It's just the way his style is. It's just the way it is. But again, hopefully the Eagles can shore up that offensive line a little bit, and hopefully he will not take as much of a beating as he did. He took a beating last year. If it wasn't taking a beating running out of the pocket, he took a beating in the pocket because the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line was not that great. He took a beating last year. But hopefully the Eagles can do a better job of protecting Michael Vick. You also have Antonio Cromartie from the New York Jets, and the Jets have a lot of interesting decisions. Brad Smith is a free agent. Braylon Edwards is a free agent. Santonio Holmes is a free agent. Antonio Cromartie is a free agent. A lot of decisions there if you're the New York Jets. If it wasn't me, I don't think they will be able to keep both Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes. I just don't see it happening. I don't think they could do it. I don't think they'll be able to squeeze it in their cap, and we'll be able to pay both of those guys. I don't think it'll be able to happen. So if I'm the New York Jets and I had to choose between one of the two, and I wouldn't want to make this decision because I think those two make a great tandem. Those two together are great. They're great together. But if I had to make a decision, I would go with Santonio Holmes. I really love his explosion, his playmaking ability. The guy can flat out make plays, Santonio Holmes. The guy makes plays. He's a playmaker. Santonio Holmes is a playmaker. So if I had to choose between one of the two, Braylon Edwards or Santonio Holmes, I got to take Santonio Holmes. And going back to Antonio Cromartie for a second, I mean, Cromartie was quoted as saying that he would love to be a Jet. I mean, he would love to be a Jet. But to me, Cromartie goes on to say, there's no such thing as a hometown discount. I'm not giving anybody a hometown discount. And I'm definitely going to see what the organization says and then also let them know that I would like to go out and test the market and see what my value is. And those are the words of Antonio Cromartie, cornerback for the New York Jets. And if I'm Antonio Cromartie, guess what? I'm not giving them a hometown discount either. I'm not doing it either. And if you remember Antonio Cromartie, he has a lot of children. The guy has a lot of kids. He definitely has a lot of kids by various women. He has a lot of kids. And when you have a lot of kids by a lot of different women, various women, guess what's going to happen? Child support. And when you make that kind of money, child support is what? It's not cheap. It's expensive. It becomes very, very expensive. Very expensive. I mean, a guy has 9 children by 8 different women. 9 children, 8 different women. My friend, that's a large child support check going out each and every month to the children, to the mother, to the mothers of the children. That's a lot of money going out. A whole lot of money going out. 9 kids, 8 different women. So guess what? If I'm Antonio Cromartie, I'm not giving a hometown discount either. My kids have to eat. My kids have to eat. And child support ain't cheap. Child support checks ain't cheap, and it's broken many men. You look at Evander Holyfield, 11 children, a bunch of different women mothering those children. I mean, that's expensive. You can't afford to give a hometown discount to anybody when you got 9 kids by 8 different women. You can't afford to do it. You cannot afford to do it. So guess what? I applaud Antonio Cromartie for saying that, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. You can't do it. You can't give a hometown discount when you got to pay all that child support. You can't do it. You cannot do it. He's got to pay for those kids. And I know they got on him. They got on him during last year, during the Hard Knocks, where he had a hard time remembering all his kids' names. But guess what? 9 kids, you would have a hard time naming all your kids as well. And I remember growing up, I'm one of 6 kids, and my father had a hard time remembering our names. Sometimes I was Mark. Sometimes I was Hal. Sometimes I was Marty. And sometimes I was Paul. And so it happens. It happens. And especially if you have 9 kids, 8 women, in 6 different states, that gets very, 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 very expensive. That gets very expensive. And the Jets last year, they had to fund him $500,000. They had to front him $500,000 because of his child support situation, because he had fallen behind in child support. They had to front him the money. So guess what? Guess what? Antonio Cromartie, I'm okay with you saying you're not giving a hometown discount. You can't afford to give a hometown discount to nobody. You can't afford to do it. You cannot afford to do it. It's life. You can't afford to do it. But goodness gracious, I mean, last year there were reports that he was in arrears, $25,000. In arrears, $25,000. That's a lot of money. That's a whole heck of a lot of money. But that is reality, and that's Antonio Cromartie's reality. When you have those many kids, it ain't easy, and it doesn't come cheap. That's just life. It does not come cheap. All those kids don't come cheap. You got to pay for them. It's the law. Your father kids, you got to pay for them. And, you know, so he's got to pay for them. He's got to pay for them. And it's expensive. So Antonio Cromartie, he can't afford to give anybody a hometown discount. And understandably so. But we'll see what the Jets are going to do with that situation with all these various free agents. And so it's looking like, I mean, the Jets are going to have a decision to make. They're definitely going to have to make a big decision here. Who do you keep? Who goes? Who stays? Who goes? Who stays? And, you know, so they have a decision to make. And I think the decision should be made that definitely Santonio Holmes has to come back. He's a playmaker. He's a flat-out playmaker. He's just a playmaking, home-run-hitting type of wide receiver. That's Santonio Holmes, and that's a guy you have to bring back. You got to bring him back. You'd be a fool not to bring him back. The guy is a playmaker. The guy makes plays, and he does big things. And I said this before about the New York Jets. I was a guy that believed the last 2 years that the Jets were not going to win or get to the Super Bowl with Mark Sanchez as their quarterback. The guy was just too young. The guy just did not have enough seasoning. And the guy was just not a good enough quarterback at this point in his career. Now, and I said this, and you get to the AFC title game, excuse me, two in a row, twice, you lose both times. You lose both times. In both of those games, Mark Sanchez didn't have great games. He didn't have great games last year, got off to a bad start in that game against the Steelers. Did a little better in the second half, but got off to a bad start. Got to a very bad start in that particular game. But I'm a guy that, and here's the thing about the NFL. Nothing is promised. Injuries are a part of this. You got a lot of things, a lot of factors involved, but nothing is promised. Last couple of years, that New York Jets defense has been very good. But who's to say they're going to be good this year? Who's to say that New York Jets defense is going to be good this year? And yes, Mark Sanchez, he may be an improved player, maybe an improved quarterback, maybe an improved quarterback. But guess what? Who's to say the defense is still going to be as good as it was? Who's to say everything else is going to fall into place? Possibly guys on the offensive side of the ball go down. Who knows? Who knows what happens? But I'll say this, I believe that Mark Sanchez the last 2 years just was not good enough. And that's it. It was not good enough. And I'll reiterate, it doesn't mean he won't be good enough. And it means that the last two seasons, he just was not good enough. But doesn't mean he won't. And I think the guy's going to be a very good quarterback. But again, you're the Jets. You're trying to win Super Bowls. And it's tough when you have a lot of things in place, I think. I mean, they had a lot of things that were super about the New York Jets. But one thing that was not super was the quarterback position, and that's Mark Sanchez. But again, we'll see what happens. Does Sanchez take that next step? If he does take that next step, does the defense stay the same? Will the defense still be as good as it was the last two seasons? Will the defense still be as good as it was the last two seasons? We'll see. Cromartie may not be back. We'll see. We shall see. Cromartie's not giving a hometown discount, so he may not be back. So we'll see. But I'll say this. At this point, the last 2 years, Mark Sanchez was not good enough. And that's it. That's my opinion on that one. And you got Donovan McNabb who was out here. Where does he go? I mean, the Redskins are looking like they're going to go in a different direction. So where does Donovan go? Does he go to Minnesota? Where does he go? Does he go to Arizona where he has an off-season home? Does he go to Seattle who's in the market for a quarterback? Where does Donovan go? And I said here, and I was a big-time proponent of keeping Donovan in Philadelphia. If you listen to the show, you would know that. I wanted Donovan to stay in Philadelphia. Obviously, it did not happen. And it was actually a good thing for the Philadelphia Eagles that Donovan did not stay. It was a good thing. But I look at it this way. I think Donovan, he had a bad year in Washington, and there's no doubt about that. He had a horrible year. It was not a Donovan McNabb caliber year. Just wasn't. And it could be a bunch of different things, offensive line being not as good as it was in Philly, the weapons being not as good as it was in Philly, a lot of things. And it could have just been that Donovan was just not good enough himself. But a lot of things factored into that. We're going to bring on now Agent Lee Steinberg. Lee, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Paul. Yourself?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well, Lee. And Lee, today, the players met, the player representatives, they met today. They were going to go over a new CBA, but there was no CBA. It wasn't finalized at this point. It was reported that a vote was supposed to take place today. Obviously, it did not happen. At this point, well, what does that mean? Should we be alarmed?
You know, I've been saying for the last year very consistently that they would never reach a collective bargaining agreement until real danger to football was imminent. That is the beginning of training camps. And that there was no way the deal would not get done by then, and it will get done. So basically, remember, you have two processes here. One is the negotiation that largely occurred between DeMaurice Smith and Roger Goodell and a slate of other folks. Then you have each person going back to their constituents. And it's a little bit like sausage, you know, you may like to eat it, but don't watch it be made. So this part of the process has Roger Goodell going back to the owners who one by one with their very, very strong personalities will point out to him just how deficient the deal is, how the players won, and why they shouldn't sign it. Conversely, you have Smith going back to the players who will tell him, but you lost this point and this point and this point. This is a terrible deal, right? So right now you're just seeing the end process. It'll work itself out, but you have incredibly strong-willed people seeing a complete agreement for the first time and realizing why every point is not exactly what it should be, and arguing, plus every person wants to express their opinion. So the stage is set here. You've got the owners in Atlanta who had their first meeting today. We'll have a general meeting tomorrow. You've got the players together. This will work out, but it will take twists and turns. But we're in the last few days of the process.
And do you think the owners will agree to ratify it tomorrow?
I think that it's interesting because if the owners go ahead and ratify it prior to the players, they could argue that they're giving the players more leverage to bring up the last few points. But the answer is yes, because remember what is coming up. It's the Oklahoma land rush. It's speed dating. It's Monty Hall's let's make a deal. You have 400 free agents that have been waiting all off-season to try to figure out where they're going to be playing, and players do not like to have a lack of structure. They may be courageous off the field, but on the field, courageous on the field, but off the field, they want to know what their schedule is, where they are going to play, and the rest of it. And then you've got another group of undrafted rookie free agents. Teams sign as many as 20 apiece, so that could be another 600 players. And then you have all the draftees. So there's the union would have to recertify, which would take a few days, and then everyone has to understand the new collective bargaining agreement, and then it's going to be the most rapid process of signing ever. Now, football's used to this. No one does anything in professional football until there's imminent pressure in the very end. So what you're going to see is well-organized franchises that have game-planned this through, that have thought, have a priority list of what free agents they want to sign, know how that fits into the cap, and have put together scenarios where if they don't sign player one, they get player two. That's why I call it the Oklahoma land rush. There'll be very well-organized wagons. Similarly, agents who have been foresightful here have gone over with their clients what their lists of priorities are, who the likely teams are, what happens if you get offered this contract from player team A and this contract from team B, or what happens if your first favorite drops out. So a lot of this has been what's been occupying the off season, because it's going to happen so rapidly, not like the old days of free agency. But the best organized teams with the best player signing skills and the best organized players and agents with the most rapid negotiating and decision-making will be the big winners here.
And how would you prepare your players for this type of situation?
You sit down with them and you have them do a list of what their priorities are. So they need to be introspective and think about concepts like short-term economic gain, long-term economic security, family, geographical location, weather, lifestyle, proximity to home, profile, endorsements, and then the football considerations, being on a winning team, the quality of coaching, the playing surface, the system that's played, being a starter. They need to have a very strong sense of how all those factors fit together. So I'll give you an example. Years ago, there was a player, Tim McDonald, who had played his life for the Cardinals. And I asked him to do that list, and he said, you know what? The most critical thing to me is that I be on a winning team. I've made plenty of money, but I've never won. And the other thing is I come from Fresno in the Central Valley of California. I'd like to be closer to my home, my mother, my family, and not have to live such a split lifestyle. So Philadelphia was interested. Arizona wanted to re-sign him. But when the 49ers came into the mix, he said, okay, there's my first two values fulfilled. Get me the best contract you can from the 49ers. So you need to have some clarity as to how these factors fit together. Otherwise, it's cognitive dissonance, being so confused by the fact that this team's got a winning record, but they're going to pay me more up front, but this team's closer to home, but and on and on and on, that it can become confusing. And so the point is to have gamed out who the available free agents are, what are the teams most likely to be interested in them, and then if team A is not available or it's not the right deal, how quickly to move to team B. So this former process where free agents leisurely went from city to city, got the red carpet rolled out for them, had a lot of time to think about it, that's all gone. This is speed dating. This is, you know, let's make a deal and quickly. And it's the same way that you will see training camps, and those teams that have incumbent coaches and incumbent management and an incumbent quarterback will be at a great advantage in the early season over those teams that have a new coach, a new system, or who are depending on a free agent or a high draft pick to make an impact. Because right. Cam Newton did not have 2 full months to sit in Charlotte preparing for this upcoming season. So if he's going to be your quarterback, you've got, you know, some real adjustment problems. Jim Harbaugh has a new system, hasn't seen players for all offseason, has never seen them up front and personal, and he's got to put a new system in, and he's got to find a way to bring the players together. Incumbent teams that are stable, and I would think that you'd fit New England and Pittsburgh and Indianapolis and Green Bay and Dallas and teams like that, they have the same coach, the same quarterback. All they have to do is get the players together. The other thing I think you should watch for is I'm predicting there'll be the most injuries in early preseason that we've seen in years, and that's because
I can agree with that.
Players have been working out on their own. They have various states of conditioning. They haven't been working out in off-season training programs. So now most of them will be in shape, but there's a real difference between being in shape and in football shape. And when you take big, strong bodies that are physically fit and they start slamming together in those first days of training camp, the human joints aren't prepared for it, can't really deal with it, and you can have some grievous injuries. So I think you're going to see that there is real pressure on both sides. Players want to get into camp, and teams don't want to lose the money from the Hall of Fame game, the money and prestige. That's a big game for a whole lot of purposes in football. So this deal is going to get done. It may have twists and turns, but you don't really even need to follow it too closely. You simply realize it will get done. And it's actually been a fairly painless process. If you compare this to the type of acrimony in a baseball or hockey or the NBA, there have been 2,000 players, and very few of them have said a thing publicly, and very few owners have said anything publicly. They're too smart in football. We know not to alienate the fans, alienate the public, and with the billions of dollars in revenue today and new billions coming, the good old days are now, and no one wants to be the person that kills this golden goose.
And Lee, we're talking to Lee Steinberg, agent. And Lee, real quickly now, concussions are a thing that you've done a lot of work with. Lawsuit was filed today, 75 players, former players, against the NFL. And basically they're saying that the NFL hid information about the effects of concussion. How legitimate is this case?
You know, I started some 25 years ago being frightened about the implications of multiple concussions and multiple head injuries. And we held conferences back in the 90s, and we had doctors who said that multiple concussions occasion real long-term damage. The NFL denied it. Then we came back about 5 years ago, and I held a series of concussion conferences. And then we had the science, which is there were multiple studies that showed that three was the magic number, that more than three concussions occasioned a much higher, an exponentially higher rate of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, premature senility, greatly elevated levels of depression. And so, and again, at the beginning, the NFL simply denied it. They denied that one hit had anything to do with another hit. At that time, I was calling it a ticking time bomb and an undiagnosed health epidemic. These bodies are bigger, stronger, and faster, and these multiple head injuries lead up to a cumulative pattern that may not hit until someone's 45 or 50. And older players are stoic. All players are in denial about their physical health. They know that they have short playing careers. They'll never admit to being unhealthy. And so it's been a paradigm of silence where older players who are having problems just weren't honest with younger players. And when I call it a ticking time bomb, it's because even if you think about the fact that a concussion is not being knocked unconscious, it's a change in brain function occasioned by a blow to the head or neck. Just think of the force of these offensive and defensive linemen. When I started representing players, you know, Fred Dreyer played defensive end at 220. There were offensive tackles at 240. Now those players are all over 300 pounds. And so bigger, stronger, faster bodies. So imagine an offensive and defensive line hitting together, causing low-grade concussions. I mean, if you ask one of those players, they'll tell you they're dazed after they just had that ferocious block. And they do it over and over again, 60 times a game, 16 games a season. And, you know, after 10 years, what's the effect? Well, it's not as if it happens the day they retire. This may take another 10 or 15 years. And the worst part of it is that there's an allele, a genotype, which is testable, which leads to a greater propensity for concussions. And then, once a player suffered them, it leads to a downward behavioral spiral where we've seen, you know, Dave Duerson and a number of players commit suicide. They become greatly depressed. They lose their marriages. They lose their jobs. And they have, you know, car crashes that are very suspicious. And there's a small group of players who's especially susceptible.
Right. And so when it's all said and done, do you expect these players to get some kind of settlement in this situation?
The NFL has always been reticent to admit that concussions are a problem for this reason, the liability reason. The first glimmer of hope I saw was after we had the concussion conference about 3 or 4 years ago. Warren Moon talked to Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell put together a physicians conference, and they started to do warnings. They had whistleblower edicts so that players who thought that other players were impaired, you know, would report them. And baseline testing, which is a cognitive set of tests, which is given prior to an athlete competing, and then if he gets hit or dinged, they can take a second test and objectively measure how far he's degraded. And then he's supposed to be asymptomatic or free of symptoms at rest on an exercise cycle and finally in practice before he goes back into a game. So there have been many progressive moves under Roger Goodell and in the last 3-4 years. Before that, it was like the Berlin Wall.
And Lee, where can we find information about Lee Steinberg?
Let me see now. As a Rip Van Winkle type Luddite who's new to social media, we have I Twitter at Steinberg Sports. I think our blog is like SteinbergSports.com, and but you can go to either of those places.
And Lee, just so we're clear, and so you can put the fans' minds at ease, when it's all said and done, football will be played and played on time.
I will say what I've said for the last year. They will not miss a preseason game. They will not miss training camp. Don't get excited by the process the next day or so. This is just a bunch of people coming to peace with making a deal. So following all the twists and turns will just make someone neurotic. Just get ready for some football because it's coming.
Lee, greatly appreciate it, sir. Thank you for taking time out for us. Take care.
Anytime, my friend.
Lee Steinberg, agent for the Stars, and, you know, it was a great talking to Lee Steinberg, and he has great insight. He's been through a lot of these situations, been through a lot of these different labor agreements and these labor situations, and great insight by Lee Steinberg. And to reiterate what he said and kind of what I've been saying, no games will be missed. No games will be missed. So everybody who was a little nervous and got their panties in a bunch, if you will, no games will be missed. Everything will be all right. Everything will be okay. And you won't have much to worry about because when football comes back, it will come back and it's going to be great and everything will be the same. Don't worry. Be happy is what I say. Don't worry. Be happy. Football will be coming back. And it's going to be coming back very, very soon. I expect these guys to get it done. I really do expect them to get it done and to get it done soon. Again, there's a lot of money to be made. And when you mess with people's money, you always have problems. You always have problems. And when you mess with people's money, people are so quick to get things done. They're so quick to get things done. They're not going to let this thing fester. They want money. And when money is about to be lost, people are going to find a way to agree on something. And it's just like would people do with their significant others? If something is going to be lost financially, something's going to be lost, whatever. You just say you're not talking to your wife or your husband, and you need something from them. Guess what? You're going to talk to them. You're going to find a way to talk to them. That's just what you're going to do. You're going to find the way a way to talk to them. You're just going to do it because you need something from them. And the players need the owners. The owners need the players. And all those, the owners and the players, need the fans. So everybody needs each other. So it's time for everybody to come together and be one and have a good old time. And let's talk football, baby. And that's what we all love to do, is talk football on the field, not off the field. And it's going to be exciting to do that. I mean, I see Winston Justice for the Eagles. I see him in a suit. I don't want to see him in a suit. I want to see him in his Eagles uniform, number 74. That's what I want to say. I want to see guys in their uniforms. That's it. I want to see you where you belong, and that's in your uniform. That's it. I want to see you in your uniform, the right uniform. And I think that's going to happen very, 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 very soon, very soon. And I want to switch gears now to the NBA. They are also involved in a lockout. But Shaquille O'Neal made some interesting comments about the Miami Heat and Chris Bosh. He said about the Miami Heat that they're basically they're the big two. They're basically the big two. And basically there's Wade, there's LeBron, and then down a few, there's Chris Bosh. And when you look at it, there is some truth to that. There's LeBron James, superstar. Dwayne Wade, superstar. Chris Bosh, a star. Not a superstar. A star. He's a star, a legitimate star. But not a superstar. Not on the level of a LeBron James. Not on the level of a Dwayne Wade. Just not. Just not. That's the reality. That's life. So when Shaq makes these comments, he's really not that far off. He's not actually not at all. He's right on, if you ask me. Chris Bosh is good. He's a very good player. He's a star. But when you talk about superstars, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are superstars. Now, that's it. Those guys are legitimate superstars. They're superstars. So when Shaq says that it's the big two, I don't disagree with him. I don't disagree with him. I don't think he's far off with that. He actually is right on with that. He's right on with that. But you say big three, it sounds good. Sells some T-shirts, sells posters, sells a few other things, sells tickets too. And so it sounds good. Let's just say big three. Everybody wants to be a big three now. You put three decent players together, and all of a sudden you got a big three. I mean, the Knicks with Billups and Anthony and Stoudemire, they were a big three. So you just start throwing these guys together, and all of a sudden you just have big threes. Everybody has big threes. And so, but every big three ain't equal. All those big threes ain't equal. They're not equal. They're not. They're just not equal. So, but it just sounds good. Sells T-shirts, like I said, sells tickets. And to that, I mean, I heard some talk today on ESPN First Take that possibly, I mean, it's not no rumor or anything, but it's just guys talking about possibly, would you trade a Dwight Howard for a Dwayne Wade or a Dwight Howard for a LeBron James? And I said that last month. I said that actually when the season ended, that if I'm the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic, I would think about trading LeBron James straight up for Dwight Howard. I would think about doing it. You look at it this way, you may say, yeah, that sounds crazy, but guess what? Dwight Howard has been on record as saying this. I'm going to play out this season, and I'm going to become a free agent. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to opt out of my deal, and I'm going to become a free agent. So you already know that you have no shot of signing him during the season. So with that being said, you might want to think about this. You might want to think about a Dwight Howard for a LeBron James swap. And I talked about it, and I said the formula for the 2006 Miami Heat was what? Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal. That was the formula that helped the Miami Heat beat the Dallas Mavericks in the 2006 NBA Finals. Now, same formula now here. Come with me. Same formula now. Dwight Howard, Dwayne Wade. And actually, if you look at it, Dwight Howard is better than Shaq was during that time with the Miami Heat. Dwight Howard is better. It's better. And then you say Dwayne Wade is a little older. He will be a little older. He's 29 now. He is a little older. But guess what? He's still only 29. Still only 29, about to turn 30, but he's still only 29. I put Dwayne Wade together. And guess what? I captured that 2006 formula. I get that 2006 formula. And arguably, you have the best wing player in Dwayne Wade. Arguably, you would have the best big man and Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is the best center in the game. So you have the best center in the game is Dwight Howard, and you have arguably the best wing player in Dwayne Wade. So with all of that being said, you're good. You're good if you make that deal. You're good if you're the Miami Heat, and you're good if you're the Orlando Magic and you make that deal. You're good. And if you look at if LeBron was to go to the Orlando Magic, say what you want to say about LeBron James. Call him a choke. Say he's not clutch. Say all the things you want to say about LeBron James. I tell you what. When LeBron James was with the Cavaliers, that was a 60-win team. 2 years in a row, a 60-win team. That was a 60-win team. And that was a team very close to getting to the NBA Finals. And actually, LeBron took the Cavaliers to the NBA Finals back in 2007. So I look at that and I say, LeBron James has proven that he can carry a team in a regular season and get them 60 wins. Now, when it comes to the player, well, he's proven that he can get to the NBA Finals as well. Has he proven that he can win an NBA Finals? No, not yet. Not yet, but he's only 26 years old. So he has time. Time is on his side. You pair Dwight Howard with Dwayne Wade. That's a great combination. That is a heck of a combination. Dwight Howard, Dwayne Wade. And you pair LeBron James with what's already in Orlando with Jameer Nelson and Jason Richardson and Turkoglu. You got a lot of shooters there. And that will work well because those guys will get a lot of open shots with LeBron James in the building. Those guys will get a lot of open looks with LeBron James in the building. Again, say what you will about LeBron James. Call him all the names you want. The guy is an two-time MVP. The guy led a team to the NBA Finals and been to the NBA Finals twice. So this is not a bum we're talking about. This is a guy who didn't play well in the NBA Finals, yes. But he's far from a bum. And arguably, the best player in the game is LeBron James. Arguably. You can make a lot of different arguments here and there, but talent-wise, there may not be nobody better than LeBron James. So I say all that to say this, that if that deal was to go down and ever to happen, I think it would be a good deal for both sides. I think it really would be a good deal for both sides. And there's been a lot of talk that some people believe that LeBron James and Dwayne Wade can't play together. They can't coexist. Their styles are too similar. They both need the ball in their hands. And there could be some truth to that. Both of those guys need the ball in their hands to be effective. Both of those guys need the ball in their hands to do what they do. Both of those guys need that. Excuse me, but both of those guys need the ball in their hands to be the best they can be. There might be some truth to that. There may be some truth to that. So the reality is this. If I'm the Orlando Magic or if I'm the Miami Heat and guys came to me talking about that situation and that deal, I would give it some thought, and I would think about doing it. I really would. I would give it some thought, and I would think about doing it. I really, really would. And we'll see what happens with it. I don't see it happening, but you never know. You never know, and I guess then you would have a different big three and probably a more balanced big three with Wade, Bosch, and Dwight Howard. You have a more balanced big three with those three guys. It would be a more balanced situation. A more balanced situation. And might be a better situation. It could be a better situation. And, I think it might be a better situation for both situations. Might be a better situation for both ball clubs. It really would. It really would. Again, I don't think it's happening, but if it did happen, it would be an interesting thing. And I think the Miami Heat and I think the Orlando Magic would both be better for it, but we'll see what happens going forward with that situation. Obviously, Dwight Howard, it's going to be interesting where he goes. Does he stay in Orlando? Does he take his talents elsewhere? Does he take his talents to L.A.? Does he take his talents and does he keep his talents in O-Town, Orlando? We'll see what he does. And I'm very interested to see what he does. And I hope that he keeps his talents in Orlando. I really do. I hope he keeps his talents in Orlando because that's where he belongs. And you want guys, I'm always a big proponent, a big fan of guys staying with that team that drafted them, staying with the team that they have gained recognition and notoriety for and with. And so I think, and I hope that Dwight Howard stays put in Orlando. I really do. And I didn't want LeBron to leave Cleveland. I was hoping that they could work that situation out. But it didn't happen. And LeBron took his talents to South Beach, and it should be very interesting to see if Dwight Howard takes his talents to the Big Apple. We'll see if Dwight Howard takes his talents to L.A. We'll see where Dwight Howard takes the talents, or maybe he just keeps his talents in Old Town and plays with Mickey Mouse and them and have a good old time. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We're going to be... I expect to be joined shortly by Lester Spate, one of the stars of Transformers, which is in theaters now. And should be very interesting to get Lester's take on that movie. And Lester was a former linebacker, former All-American linebacker in college. And Lester actually was going to play in the USFL, but before he started to play, something happened. And we'll talk to Lester about all that, but Lester Spate will be joining us very shortly, and again, it should be interesting to get Lester's take on what's going on with Transformers and what's going on with him. And we're going to be joined by Lester any moment now, and I'm looking forward to this. Lester also with Terry Tate, the office linebacker, if you remember many years back, famous Super Bowl commercial. So Lester will be joining us very, 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 very shortly.
Okay.
If you go
hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pixurica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thanks for the love, Corey Live. And you are listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com. And make sure you listen to the show. Past shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. A lot of great interviews, a lot of great content there. A lot of great shows, a lot of past guests, a lot of great past guests. So make sure you check it out. And, you know, it's a great show. We do a great job. We do a great job here. And we enjoy bringing it to you each and every time we come to you. We enjoy bringing some great, great content, some great guests, and just some great sports talk. We love bringing the sports talk. Love bringing the sports talk to you. And hopefully you love receiving what we are giving. And it's always better to give than to receive. And hopefully you're receiving some good stuff as I'm giving it to you. And also in the NBA, it's official. Kind of sad on some level. Yao Ming came in with so much fanfare, so much popularity. It's over now. It's official. Yao is calling it quits after 8 years in the NBA. And it was a lot of injuries for Yao. He was an 8-time All-Star, but a lot of injuries really hurt Yao's career. And Yao, you know, he was a guy that I remember coming in that his first year that they had a game against Shaq, and it was you know, being very hyped. Shaq against Yao, you know, it was a battle of two very good big men. And Yao Ming, say what you will about the guy. You know, say what you will about Yao, but his career, Yao had a decent career, could have been a lot better. Yao was a very good player. Yao was a very good player. Yao had a lot of skills. 7'6" with a lot of skills. He had a lot of skills. He could do a lot of things. He could shoot. He was pretty athletic, fairly athletic for his size. Yao was a decent, decent big man. And it's sad that it ended the way it ended. It really is, but the injuries took a toll on him, and he just, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out for Yao. And when you're that big and that tall, guys, you tend to break down. It's just the nature of the situation. Guys break down when they're that big and that tall. They break down. They break down, and Yao broke down constantly. He had the foot situation. Foot constantly missing a lot of time with that foot. And it just cost him his career. It cost him his career. But Yao Ming had a very good career. Very good career. And could have been a lot better. Should have been a lot better. But because of injuries, it ended a lot sooner than it should. Definitely ended a lot sooner than it should. But Yao Ming, it's sad. You know, it's sad to see a guy go out before his time. He was very teary-eyed at times during that press conference. But it was tough for him. He's only 30 years old. And made a lot of money during his time in the league. Made a lot of money. But, you know, you're expecting Yao to stick around longer and do more things in this league. But injuries got the best of Yao Ming. And ultimately, it cost him his career, and it was a very good career, very, very good career. And Yao, you know, he selected to the All-Star game 8 times, averaged 19 points, 9.2 boards, 9.2 rebounds per game and throughout his career. And he did a lot of great things for the Houston Rockets, but a lot of good things. Let's not say great, a lot of good things for the Houston Rockets, but ultimately, it wasn't enough. Wasn't enough because Yao's career had to come to an end because of injury. And injury got the best of Yao Ming. And unfortunate because, Yao had a lot of ability and could do a lot of things with the basketball. And he was a big guy. You didn't see guys that big and that skilled. I mean, you have Manute Bol who was tall like that, but he didn't have the skill set of a Yao Ming. He didn't have the skill set of a Yao Ming. Didn't have it. I mean, Yao ended his career second in blocks with the Houston Rockets. It's just second in blocks, 6 in points, and 6 in total rebounds. And all those are all his stats with the Houston Rockets, and those are his rank on the list, on the team's list. And again, second in Rockets history in blocks, sixth in Rockets history in points, and 6 in rebounds for the Houston Rockets. So the guy had a decent run. Had a decent run. Had a decent run. But the run did not go as long as it should have, and then hopefully as it, you know, I was hoping as it would have. But again, Yao Ming, it's official. Call the quits. He's retired. He's moving on with his life, and 30 years old, and no more basketball for Yao Ming. And brought a lot of popularity to the NBA, brought the Chinese market into the NBA. I mean, Yao was very popular. Yao was very popular. Yao was very popular. And so, and the Chinese, they really supported Yao Ming. They really supported him and all the things that he has done. And you look at it, I mean, all the votes that he got for the All-Star game, I mean, the Chinese influence definitely was in play there. The Chinese influence was definitely in play there for Yao Ming. All those votes that he got for the All-Star games, that was the Chinese influence. That was the Chinese influence. And Yao, it's sad, but it's over. Yao Ming retired at the age of 30. And again, if Yao could have stayed healthy, he could have put up some great numbers in his career, and he could have been a force for a long time. But like I said, I mean, when you're that big, those limbs take a beating. They take a beating, and Yao Ming's limbs took a beating right there. It took a beating, and it cost him his career. But what's next for Yao? What does Yao do next now that he's done with football, done with basketball? He talked about becoming possibly a Chinese GM, general manager. It's just talk of that for the national team. And so we'll see what happens with Yao Ming going forward. But he tried, and he tried, like, I don't know what, to come on back. But it just would not happen for the big fella. And the big fella had to call it quits. Yao Ming retired at the age of 30. Surprising. Not really surprising, but, I mean, you want a Yao to be able to stick around a little longer than he did. And it was good for the league. It definitely was good for the NBA. It's good for the NBA where you have that international superstar. That Yao Ming, he was international. He was Chinese. He was international, and the Chinese people, they loved him. They loved Yao Ming. They loved the guy. And they loved him a lot. And he did a lot of great things during that time. And it was good for the game of basketball. Good for the game of basketball. Good for the NBA to have a guy like Yao Ming, who was very popular and brought popularity worldwide to the sport of basketball and to the NBA. But it's over. Say it before, say it again. It's over. And we talked about Dwight Howard. And speaking of Dwight Howard, there was talks that he was considering going overseas. And he talked about it. I mean, he was quoted as saying, I'm not at liberty to talk about it, but there's a huge possibility about me going to China or me going overseas to play basketball. And, you know, he says, I've been thinking about Europe seriously, but it's not a decision that should be made in a rush. And he was speaking to reporters during his promotional tour that he was having in Spain. And, you know, I mean, I said it before. We talked about it before a couple of days ago. We talked about it. If you look at this, I mean, guys are going to do this, I think. But I think guys are going to do this more for leverage for the players during this lockout. Players are trying to get leverage and getting that leverage. One way they can get leverage is saying, you know, I'm going to Europe. I'm going to Turkey. I'm going to Israel. I'm going to all these different places. I'm leaving. If you don't want to have an NBA season, guess what? I'm going to take my talents to Europe. I'm going to take my talents to Europe. I'm going to take my talents overseas. And I just think right now, I don't believe it. I think some of it is just, guys just trying to gain leverage. I think it's a leverage move and a power play, if you will, but I don't think it's real. I really don't think it's real. And so we'll see what happens. But Dwight Howard is not going overseas, I don't think. Dwight Howard is not going overseas. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it's going to happen. But we'll see what happens going forward. But Dwight Howard, we'll see what happens, but I know what's going to happen. Dwight Howard is not going overseas. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. I just don't see it. And a lot of guys are talking about it. Oh, yeah. And everybody's saying, yeah, maybe I'll go overseas. And Deron Williams, he signed with a Turkish team, but that's contingent upon him playing. That's contingent upon a lockout. And judging by what we're seeing and what people are saying, this lockout could go on for a long time. I heard a lot of people saying that we could expect another 50-game season like we had back in 1999. So we'll see what happens and going forward with that. But hopefully they can get that taken care of because the NBA was on such a high. Big time high. Coming off these NBA finals, which were great. Coming off a lot of popularity. A lot of people watched it. Higher ratings for the NBA. You know, some good situation. Good situation right now in the NBA. Good situation. A lot of stars. A lot of talent. A lot of players out there. A lot of good things going on in the NBA. A lot of things. But the reality is, because of this lockout, and it may affect the situation. It may affect the situation. And I just hope that the players and the owners will be mindful of that, and they'll get to the bargaining table and they'll get this done. Because the NBA cannot afford to have a long lockout. They cannot afford to have a type of lockout where their games will be missed. They can't afford that at this point. They can afford it, and people ultimately will come back. But right now you have momentum, and you hate for that momentum to break. And that momentum is going to be broke. It's going to be broke with this situation. It's going to be broke if this lockout is prolonged and goes for a long time. That momentum that they had, it's not going to be. They're going to lose it. They're going to lose that momentum. And that's going to be very unfortunate. And it's going to be very, very unfortunate. And hopefully, again, both sides can come to the table and both sides can get this thing right. Hopefully. And I don't see it happening. And I think this is going to be a long one because the NBA has a lot of legitimate and real issues. The NFL, I guess, had issues, but not really. You can't really have issues when your sport has been growing big time, more so than any sport in this country. I mean, just essentially printing money. That's what the NFL has been doing. That's what they have been doing for these past few years, these last years, last few years, last decade. The NFL is the number one sport in the United States. Flat out the number one sport. The number one sport. And so the NFL is king. They're king. The NFL is king. So, you know, the NFL, they can afford to go through what they're going through now. The NBA, not so much. Not so much. They can't afford to go through what they're going through now. They can't. But hopefully everybody will come to the table and get everything right and let's move on and play basketball and let's capitalize on this momentum. And speaking of momentum, a lot of momentum was capitalized by the women's soccer team. They beat Brazil and they were happy going into that championship game against Japan. But guess what? They choked, and choking, it cost them. They choked. They definitely choked in that finals game against the Japanese. They choked. They had the lead down the stretch, and they lost it. And during the penalty kicks, they lost it there. They got beat up during the penalty kicks, and down the stretch, the Japanese team just wanted it more, and they went after it, and they got it. The Japanese team got it, wanted it more, and they got it. They got it. And so with that being said, the Japanese are the champions of the Women's World Cup. They have the World Cup, and a lot of has been made of people not really being hard on these women and not criticizing them for choking the way we criticize our men. And some respect, I agree with that. I mean, if we look at LeBron James and the Miami Heat and all that, look how hard we were on them. Look how hard we were on them. We weren't nearly as hard on this women's team. We were praising them, applauding them, and really, really just saying all nice things. All, and it was almost like they didn't win, but so what? They were nice, and they played hard, and they captured the imagination and the attention of everybody. They captured the attention of the United States public. And so the whole bunch of tweets about them, whole bunch of everything about them. People were excited about this U.S. women's team. They were very excited about this U.S. women's team. Very excited. But guess what? It didn't work out for them. It didn't work out for them. And the U.S. team lost, unfortunately, to the Japanese. And if you're not going to rip them, I'm going to rip them. You guys choked. You choked it away. You had the lead on two separate occasions, and you choked it away. You choked. You choked. You choked. You choked. You choked, women. You guys choked. Hope Solo, you choked. Abby Wambach, you choked. You guys choked it away. You choked it away. Choke, 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 choke. It's a choking situation. It was a choking situation, and they choked it away. Unfortunately for the women, they choked it away. And I'm ripping them now because no one else would. No one else would. It was just a feel-good story. Oh, they made it this far. Oh, they're tough. Oh, they're courageous. Yes, but they're also chokers. You can be tough, you can be courageous, you can be hardworking, and you can capture the imagination of the public, but you can also be a choker. And this was a choking situation. A choking situation in the United States women. They choked it away. And they had an opportunity to win the Women's World Cup. Two times they had the lead, two times they lost the lead. And we came down to penalty kicks, and they could not get it done. And that is very, very, very unfortunate. But it's also life. And there you have it. No one else will rip this team, but I did. I ripped them. I ripped this team. No one else would, so I decided to do it. I decided to do it. And you had Abby Wambach, who had a big, big homecoming in New York, drew huge crowds. People were loving her, adoring her. And so, you know, she had a in Rochester, people came out and supported Abby Wambach. But guess what? Second place is not good enough. And that's what she had got, second place. Second place is not good enough. And Lester Spade, I guess he will not be joining us, and we're going to bring him back hopefully at a later date. But we want to thank Lee Steinberg for stopping on by and giving his insight about this lockout. You can check out Lee at Steinberg Sports on Twitter. Check him out there, Steinberg Sports, Lee Steinberg. Follow him on Twitter, and got some great thoughts. And make sure you do that. And also make sure you follow me on Twitter at GoForItGant. That's GoForItGant at Twitter. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Go for it, Gant. Follow me. Please, please, and thank you. We want to thank Lee Steinberg again for stopping by. You can listen to this show and past shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant, where you can listen to this show and other great, great, great shows. Make sure you stick around for Saturday. We got CJ Center, this guy, 10-year-old young man, this guy is a physical freak. I mean, he's a physical freak, and he's going to be joining us. Excuse me. So make sure you stick around for Saturday, and make sure you listen on Saturday, blogtalkradio.com/begin. I want to thank everybody behind the scenes for doing such a great job, and I want to thank you, the listeners, for listening in. This is Paul Gant. I hope you have a great day and a great night. See you later.